Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 23rd Chapter, 10th Verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavach Pranam, Algorishta Srila Prabhupada, Algorishta Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vardhana Mataji. My humble obeisances to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Mataji, for starting this conference and introducing everybody. And my sincere gratitude to Shama Gauri Mataji for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you this morning. Let us begin Mangalacharan. Before we start our discussion on Srimad Bhagavatam, we are going to study one verse today, Canto 4th, Chapter 23, verse number 10. So Srimad Bhagavatam 4.23.10. So before we begin the verse, let us chant Mangalacharan together. नमः विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीन इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजाता सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरातिसे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वा
वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरये परमात्मने प्रणतक्लेशनाशाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
हरे कृष्ण। सो इन दिस वर्स मैत्रेय मुनि इज स्पीकिंग टू विदुर, इज टेलिंग विदुर दिस वेरी वंडरफुल लीला of incarnation of Krishna by the name of Prithu Maharaj. We have been studying the life of Prithu Maharaj. What a glorious life, my dear friends. We heard how Prithu Maharaj came in this world by the efforts of the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. He is descendant of Dhruv Maharaj, but he is son of Maharaj Vena, who was very, very evil. But Prithu Maharaj was personification of Dharma. And we read about his glorious activities. And now we are reading about the concluding pastimes of Prithu Maharaj and his glorious wife, Srimati Archi Devi. Now Prithu Maharaj is preparing to go back home, back to Godhead. And those activities are being described. So today's verse says, Bhagavad dharmenah sadho shraddhaya yatatah sada bhaktir bhagavati brahmani ananya vishaya bhavat. Synonyms: Bhagavad dharmenah, one who executes devotional service, sadhoho, of the devotee, shraddhaya, with faith, yatataha, endeavoring, sada, always, bhaktihi, devotion, bhagavati, unto the personality of Godhead Krishna, brahmani, the origin of impersonal Brahman, ananya vishaya, firmly fixed without deviation, abhavat, became. Translation and purport: by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Maharaj Prithu thus engaged completely in devotional service, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to principles, 24 hours daily. Thus, his love and devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna developed and became unflinching and fixed. So, just in summary, Maharaj Prithu engaged 24 hours a day in devotional service. And by engaging in devotional service, his love and devotion for Krishna became very well developed and fixed up and unflinching. Unflinching means unshakable. Let's look at the purport. Srila Prabhupada says, the word Bhagavad Dharminaha indicates that the religious process practiced by Maharaj Prithu was beyond all pretensions. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra. Religious principles which are simply pretentious are actually nothing but cheating. Bhagavad Dharminaha is described
by Veera Raghav Acharya as Nivritta Dharmena, which indicates that it cannot be contaminated by material aspiration. As described by Srila Rupa Goswami, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Adi Anavratam Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktiruttama. When one who is not inspired by material desires and is not contaminated by the process of fruitive activity and empiric speculation fully engages in the favorable service of the Lord, his service is called Bhagavad Dharma or pure devotional service. In this verse, the word Brahmani does not refer to the impersonal Brahman. Impersonal Brahman is a subordinate feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And since impersonal Brahman worshippers desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence, they cannot be considered followers of Bhagavad Dharma. After being baffled in this material enjoyment, the impersonalist may desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, but a pure devotee of the Lord has no such desire. Therefore, a pure devotee is really Bhagavad Dharma. It is clear from this verse that Maharaj Prithu was never a worshipper of the impersonal Brahman, but was at all times a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavati Brahmani refers to one who is engaged in devotional service to the Personality of Godhead. A devotee's knowledge of the impersonal Brahman is automatically revealed, and he is not interested in merging into the impersonal Brahman. Maharaj Prithu's activities in devotional service enabled him to become fixed and steady in the discharge of devotional activities without having to take recourse to karma, jnana, or yoga. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripakamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya Prema Bhadivya Chavisundaraya Tasmai Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Bhaktya Vihina Aparadha Lakshaye Chittascha Kamadi Taranga Madhye Kripamai Tvam Sharanam Prapanna Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam Gurave Gaurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So this is such a hope-giving and inspiring verse from Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam. Several points of discussion. The first point is, Maharaj Prithu engaged completely in devotional service. That is what is being told in this verse. So from this we can learn that we should have complete faith, Shraddha, and we should have enthusiasm, Utsaha. We should have determination, Nishchay, firm determination, and patience, Dhairya. We should have faith, we should have determination, enthusiasm, at the same time patience. And if, my dear friends, if we stick on and continue on this path of pure devotional service that Srila Prabhupada has given us, following the four regulative principles: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And we chant the very minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra attentively on our Tulsi Japamala every day. We associate with devotees and we gain inspiration and enlightenment from these great scriptures. Then, for sure, Krishna Prem will arise in our heart. Vardhana Mataji was reading the 10 offenses that we have to avoid against the holy name. If we avoid these 10 offenses and we chant sincerely, then Krishna Prem will appear in our heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, Kubuddhi chadikara shravana kirtana achirata pabetava krishnera charana. If by giving up our evil mentality, sinful mentality, kubuddhi chada, if we give up our mentality to commit sinful activities, kari shravana kirtana, we hear Harikatha and we chant Krishna Nam, Shravana Kirtan, and we glorify Krishna like now, the Bhagavatam class, Chaitanya Charitamrita class. We are glorifying Krishna, we are glorifying devotional service, bhakti. This is very nice. Shravana Kirtana, if we do this, then Achiraka, very soon, Tabe Taba, you will obtain, you will get Krishna Racharana. You will attain the lotus feet of Krishna. That is so beautiful. Attaining the lotus feet of Krishna is the aim of life. Namo Pankajanabhaya, Namo Pankajamaline, Namo Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. The lotus feet of Krishna, they are the supreme shelter for all the devotees. Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahat padam punyayasho murare bhavam budhirvakta padam param padam 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 yat vipadam natesha. We are suffering in this bhavasagar. We must take shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna. And that we can do through the process of devotional service. But we must follow the process nicely. Sometimes we don't get results. We become disturbed. We are feeling dry in our spiritual life. We are not experiencing the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. And sometimes devotees even leave Krishna consciousness. They stop coming to the temple. They stop coming for the weekly satsangs. There are two reasons for this. One is improper sadhana, carelessness in sadhana, daily attentive 16 rounds. We should never chant our 16 rounds in the car or while shopping or, you know, in the office or any place where we are not doing it exclusively. Extra rounds we can chant everywhere, whenever, you keep chanting. But 16 rounds is our personal commitment to Guru and Gauranga. We have taken that promise in the assembly of devotees, in front of the holy fire, in front of our spiritual master, in front of their lordships on the altar, Radha Krishna, Gauranitaya, Jagannath Balav Subhadra. That is a very serious commitment. Those 16 rounds have to be with full absorption. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So improper sadhana is one reason why devotees have difficulties in Krishna consciousness. Improper sadhana. And the second reason is Vaishnava Prabhu, offending the great devotees. Offending people, offending devotees, that is a very big impediment. Criticizing them, not appreciating them, That is a very big reason why our spiritual progress is impeded. Krishna just withdraws his mercy when we offend devotees. So we have to be very careful. If we are careful, then the path is full of happiness. And then we go ahead in the purport, and Prabhupada is quoting Srila Rupa Goswami from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, giving the definition of pure devotional service, Uttama Bhakti. And that is Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavratam Anukulyana Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Ruttama. This is Shuddha Bhakti. This is Bhagavad Dharma. Prabhupada is saying. So a few things that I wanted to discuss about this. Interestingly, Prabhupada is quoting Veera Raghav Acharya, his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, to this verse in relationship to the term Bhagavad Dharminaha. And he translates it as Nivritta Dharmena. So if you remember, at the end of the fifth canto, Shukadeva Goswami, he describes to Parikshit Maharaj the different types of hellish planets and what punishments we get in the hellish planets. After that, at the beginning of the sixth canto, beginning, first chapter, Parikshit Maharaj feels a lot of compassion for all these souls who are suffering. So he asks Shukadeva Goswami, where is this hellish planet? These hellish planets, are they really in this universe, in this Brahmanda, or are they in some other Brahmanda? Can you please tell me? Now, Parikshit Maharaj is a very cultured, very educated, very learned Rajarshi, great king. But he has this question. He's asking it for his benefit and for the benefit of everyone. Because after hearing those descriptions at the end of the fifth canto, one may wonder, is this some fantasy? Is this some fiction to make us scared? To instill fear in our heart? Is somebody making up these stories? What kind of planets are these that are described? So many descriptions are given at the end of the fifth canto. It's scary. So Parikshit Maharaj asks this question, do these hellish planets really exist? If so, I have not seen them. Are they somewhere hidden on this earth planet? Are they somewhere in this Brahmanda, or are they in another Brahmanda? Shukadeva Goswami answers that, my dear king, these hellish planets are not a product of fiction. These hellish planets actually do exist. And they exist not on this earth. No, they are not on this earth. But they are in the lower planets within this universe, within this Brahmanda. There are many Brahmandas. There are many universes. And there are hellish planets in all the Brahmandas. In our Brahmanda also, in the lower planetary systems, all these hellish, different hellish planets are there. They exist. And they are meant for suffering and punishment. So, then Parikshit Maharaj asks a very important question. Please pay attention, my dear friend. This is very, very important. Parikshit Maharaj then asks Shukadeva Goswami a very important question. He says, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, in the second chapter, in the second canto, you described the process of liberation. Nivritti Marg. Then later on you also described the process of attaining the heavenly planets. And you have also described the hellish planets. Please tell me how a living entity can avoid going to the hellish planets. Now, isn't this a valid question, my dear friends? We suffer in this world. But the suffering in the hellish planets is hundreds and thousands of times more severe. So who wants to go to the hellish planet? Nobody wants to go to the hellish planet to suffer. Just read the end of the fifth canto. What are the different punishments that are given? It is very scary. So Parikshit Maharaj, for our benefit, is asking, how does one avoid going into these hellish planets? So Shukadeva Goswami gives a very clear answer. He says, If before one's death, one performs adequate prayaschitta, atonement, for all the sins that one has committed, then one will not enter the hellish planet. So for example, in Bhagavad Gita it is said, in that verse, yadna shishthashina asanto muchyante sarva kilbhishe bhunjate te tvagam papa yapachanti atma karanat, that if we eat food which is not yajna shishtha, it has not been offered in sacrifice to Yageshwar, to the Lord of Sacrifice, which is Krishna. Aham sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhurevacha. Krishna is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. So, without Nam Sankirtan, in Kali Yuga, the sacrifice is Nam Sankirtan. Kalauta dhari kirtana. That is the yajna, dharma for Kali Yuga. So, if we don't offer food chanting Krishna Nam, Namo Brahma Devaya Go Brahma Hitaya Cha Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. If we don't offer food while doing Nam Kirtan Yajna to Krishna and we eat it, Agham Papa Yaha Pachanti Atma Karana. Without offering Krishna for our own sake, if we eat food to satisfy our own belly, our own taste buds, we are only eating sins. Now, my dear friends, just think how many times in our life we have eaten food without offering it properly with Nam Kirtan Yajna to Krishna. Think about it. It may be biscuit, it may be some crackers, it may be some fruit, it may be anything. Before we came to Krishna consciousness, it might have been food containing onion, garlic, it might have been meat, chicken. All the things that we have eaten before we came to Krishna consciousness, we have committed great sin. And that is only this life, my dear friends. But it's a process of evolution. Some sadhu must have blessed us, and therefore we have got a human body where we have association of devotees, and we are on the path of Krishna consciousness. But in the previous lifetimes, we must have committed so many sins. So many sins we have committed. So just living in this world, we commit so many sins. Sukhdev Goswami is saying, unless we perform appropriate atonement for each and every sin, each and every time we have a subtle or gross breaking of the regulative principles, whether it is meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, anything, you know, failing to give something to a beggar, all those things that are there, described in the Dharma Shastras, breach of all those rules and regulations entangles us in sins. Sukhdev Goswami is saying very clearly in the sixth canto, beginning of the sixth canto, unless we atone appropriately for each and every of those sins that we have committed in the past, we will have to go to the hellish planets if we have not atoned for them. Now, this Sukhdev Goswami spoke in the assembly of Parikshit Maharaj, who was accompanied by hundreds and thousands of sadhus and rishis. The likes of Narad Muni, Vyasadev, Vasishtha Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, Parashuram, all these great souls were there. And there were devotees who were impersonalists, they were devotees of Gyan Marg, Karma Marg, Dhyan Marg, all those devotees were there, all those transcendentalists were there. And Sukhdev Goswami is saying, we have to atone for each and every sin that we have committed in the past. Otherwise, we have to go to the hellish planets. Now, a clear answer is given, and Sukhdev Goswami is still speaking. But look at Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, this is one of the rare instances in Srimad Bhagavatam where Parikshit Maharaj actually interrupts and cuts off Sukhdev Goswami. Normally, Sukhdev Goswami finishes speaking and then Parikshit Maharaj asks question. Oh, how about this? Oh, what happened? How did this happen? Can you tell me more why this happened? And then Sukhdev Goswami tells different historical narrations. based on the question. But here Shukdev Goswami is still speaking and Parikshit Maharaj cuts him off and says to Shukdev Goswami, "No, Guru Maharaj, I don't accept your answer. This answer you have given me is not a very good answer. My question was, how does one avoid going to hell? And your answer is by performing atonement for each and every sin that one has committed in the past. This cannot be true. Because, for example, I may have committed some sin of eating meat, for example, or any other sin. And I perform a particular prayaschitta. I do some fast. I do some tapasya. And I do atonement. But that tendency to commit sinful activities is still there. So it's just a matter of time that we again perform sinful activity, either same sinful activity or some other sinful activity. There are hundreds of sinful activities in this material world, especially in Kali Yuga. Just not receiving a guest properly, you get sinful reactions. All those are mentioned in the fifth canto. Different hellish planets, different punishments for different sinful activities. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, we may do atonement and we may become pure. I may fast, I may go, you know, empty stomach and go to some holy place, take Ganga Snan, and I may become purified. But when I come out back into my day-to-day life in the future, I will again commit sinful activities and again I am contaminated. So Parikshit Maharaj says, Manne Kunjara Sauchavat. I consider this like the bathing of an elephant. The elephant goes, sits in the river, takes a nice, leisurely, clean bath, sprinkles himself and other members of the herd with water. They become nice and clean in the nice flowing river. They come out and then with great enthusiasm, they take dust from the river bank and they with their trunk, they smear it on their bodies. So they just removed all the dirt by taking bath in the river. They come out and again they put dirt on themselves. So again they become dirty. Similarly, one may go perform atonement, perform some penance, some tapasya to purify oneself. One may even become purified. But the tendency to commit those sins is still there. So comes out and again commits those sins and becomes contaminated. Back to square one, as they say. This is like cutting the weeds in our garden, you know, in the lawn. We all have weeds, so we do weed control. So the weeds grow. So if you just cut the weeds along with the grass, temporarily it looks very nice. The grass is nicely cut, nicely trimmed. And because the weeds are also trimmed off, they don't become visible. But within few weeks, again the weeds grow and they become visible and they spoil everything. So performing atonement is like trimming the weeds, cutting the weeds. But the roots are still there, so they will grow again. So again, Parikshit Maharaj gives the example that Venu Gulmam Iva Analaha. Just like there's a forest fire, it may burn down all the bamboo trees. But at the next rain, at the next opportunity, because the roots are still intact under the earth, the bamboo trees will again grow. So that's like the sins that we perform because of the tendency to commit sin, which is still there in our heart. So Parikshit Maharaj, just think about this, my dear friends. Parikshit Maharaj is completely rejecting the proposal of Shukdev Goswami. So then Shukdev Goswami becomes very happy. Because see, we must be scared of our spiritual master and we must not be scared of our spiritual master. This is very important. Please try to understand this. Sometimes people ask inappropriate questions to the spiritual master. Like I remember once, I was with my spiritual master and someone came. Maharaj had just come to Shri Radha Gopinath temple after a gap of 6 months. And there was one devotee from Bombay only, very westernized. So Maharaj walks in, everybody is lining up and he goes up to Maharaj and asks Maharaj, "Hey Maharaj, how are you? How are you doing?" Like that. So that is not. So Maharaj became very grave, and that is not a question to ask your spiritual master. Hey, how you doing? Or hey, Maharaj, how you doing? What's up? That's not how you. It's not a casual talk. Guru means heavy. We have to inquire submissively from the guru, not inquire casually. Hey, what's up, guru? That's not the way. At the same time, so we should be scared of the guru, but at the same time, if something is not clear, some instruction is not clear, then we should not be scared to ask for a clarification. Like once, Srila Radha Govind Maharaj tells this story. Once he told his disciple in Vrindavan to go to Lohi Bazaar and buy something. He wanted a book. So he told him, go and buy this book. And that devotee heard that go to Lohi Bazaar and buy something, but he could not understand what, he didn't catch what Radha Govind Maharaj told him to buy. So he just took the money that Radha Govind Maharaj gave him for the rickshaw and he went. And Maharaj is waiting here. He will come. He will bring what I told him to bring. And the whole day he was in Lohi Bazaar. In the evening, late at night also, he did not come back. And Radha Govind Maharaj was wondering, where has he gone? Finally at night, he came and did not even come in front of Maharaj. He just quietly went into his room in Krishna Balaram temple. So Maharaj called for him and said, what happened? I told you to go to the market place, Lohi Bazaar, to get something. He said, yes, Guru Maharaj, I went. He said, what were you doing all day? He said, I was just standing there alone in Lohi Bazaar doing nothing because when you told me the instruction, I could not hear what you want. So you gave two instructions. Go to Lohi Bazaar and buy something. I got the first instruction, but I did not catch the second instruction. And I didn't have the courage to ask you for clarification because you would have thought that I didn't hear you properly the first time. So I just obeyed your instruction and I went to Lohi Bazaar. So Maharaj was mentioning that, see, he wasted the money, rickshaw money, to go to Lohi Bazaar. He wasted the whole day. So he should have asked for clarification. If something is not clear, one should not be scared to ask for clarification in a respectful way. So Maharaj chastised him and said, you felt scared to ask me for a clarification, but you didn't feel scared to go and stand there all alone in Lohi Bazaar. Maya could have attacked you. Something would have happened. You left your services in the temple. You didn't feel scared leaving your services in the temple and spending the whole day there doing nothing. So this is not proper. So we should be scared of the spiritual master to do inappropriate things, but to inquire appropriately, pari prashnena sevaya. That is our duty. So Parishat Maharaj is setting a standard. If something is not clear, we must ask. So he's saying that, no, I don't accept this. This doesn't make sense. So then, Sukhdev Goswami becomes very happy that Parishat Maharaj is cutting him off like that. So he says, you are very right. This type of atonement is practically useless. The only way to uproot the weeds of the tendency to commit sinful activities is by taking shelter of Krishna and engaging in Krishna bhajan, engaging in Naam bhajan, engaging in the Leela kirtan of Krishna, Naam kirtan of Krishna, Guna kirtan of Krishna, Tattva kirtan of Krishna, discussing Krishna tattva, discussing Krishna guna. How Krishna tattva means how Krishna is the supreme personality of God and how he is cause of all causes. Krishna Guna Kirtan means describing the qualities of Krishna. Oh, Krishna is so merciful, he is Bhakta Vatsal. Then Krishna Leela Kirtan means discussing the different pastimes, activities of Krishna. And Krishna Naam Kirtan, discussing chanting the glorious name of Krishna, different names of Krishna. Naam Sankirtan. Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita, like that. So you must do Nam Kirtan and Hare Krishna Mahamantra, of course. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this, unless we engage in Kirtan, unless we take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, the tendency to commit sinful activities cannot be uprooted, Shukadeva Goswami says. And when Krishna Bhakti rises on the horizon of our consciousness, Krishna Bhajan rises on the horizon of our consciousness, just like now, it's early morning, the sun is rising. When the sun rises, all the darkness is automatically dispelled. Shukadeva Goswami says, Niharam Iva Bhaskaraha. Just like Bhaskar, just like the sun, Niharam, it destroys the darkness. Similarly, when Bhakti rises in our life, then the darkness of the tendency to commit sinful activities is destroyed. Otherwise, by atonement, it cannot be done. Shukadeva Goswami gives another example. Sura Kumbham Ivapadaha. That is, there is alcohol in a earthen pot. An earthen pot has been used to store alcohol, liquor. And then we decide, no, this earthen pot has to be cleansed. And you throw away all the alcohol. Will that pot become purified just by throwing out all the alcohol? No. There is still some alcohol stuck to the inner walls of the pot. It is impure. Okay, let me wash it in the river. You take it to the holiest of all rivers, like Ganga and Yamuna. And you take that earthen pot which was used to store liquor and you wash it in Ganga and Yamuna. Now can you bring it back and use it for doing Krishna Abhishek as a kalash? To store bhoga for Krishna? To cook for Krishna? Can you use that pot? No. Once it has been used for alcohol, no matter how much you keep it in the river, even rivers like Ganga and Yamuna, the holiest of all holy rivers, even by washing that pot used to store alcohol, Sura Kumbham Ivapagaha. That pot, that kumbha, cannot be purified by putting it in a river. It cannot be used because there is some alcohol still inside the walls, absorbed in the walls, in the mud that makes the pot. So it becomes impure. It cannot be. So, and then Shukadeva Goswami says something very, very revolutionary. So just imagine, in that assembly, not everybody is a devotee. Yeah? There are people who are just sitting out of curiosity, the villagers. There are jnanis, there are karmis. Everybody is sitting, and in their assembly, our Shukadeva Goswami says, in the sixth canto, Sakrinmanah Krishna Padaravindayor Niveshitam Tad Gunaragiyariha Nateyamam Pashab Britas Chatad Bhatan Swapne Pipaschan Tihichir Naneshkrita. Very, very bold statement. I'll read a translation that Srila Prabhupada gives to this verse. This is a very beautiful verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.19. Shukadeva Goswami is very happy with Parikshit Maharaj cutting him off like that, and he is giving the real answer now. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities and pastimes are completely freed of all sinful reactions. For they have accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamraj or other carriers of Yamraj, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. Just see, my dear friends. Shukadeva Goswami, after describing in graphic details about the hellish planets, after instilling a sense of compassion in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, and instilling a sense of fear about the hellish planets in the hearts of so many assembled transcendentalists, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, Sakrit, means just one. Sakrin marah Krishna padara vindayor niveshitam tad agunaragiyariha. That even once, if one develops attachment, rag. Rag means attachment to the name, fame, qualities of Krishna. Guna ragi. If we develop attachment to Krishna, guna, Krishna's different qualities, and even once our mind, in our mind, Krishna's two lotus feet, they enter and we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, even once, my dear friends. This is a statement of Shukdev Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam. He's saying, Sakrim manah Krishna padarabinda yor niveshitam tad guna ragi. If we can do it once, so just once, my dear friends, let us all close our eyes. Don't close your eyes if you are driving and listening to this narration. But if you are in a suitable place, please right now close your eyes, everyone. Join your hands in surrender. Bow down your head a little bit. And whoever is your favorite deity, whether it is Radha Raman Jiu of Vrindavan or your Gram Daivat, the presiding deities in your city where you live, for us it is Radha Madan Mohan, or your own personal deity at home, Gaur Nitai, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, or Radha Krishna, whoever your deity is, Narsinadev Bhagwan, whoever your favorite deity is, it may be Dalita Vishaka Radha Gopinath, just meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. I have a photo of Radha Gopinath ji in front of me. So I'm meditating on the lotus feet of Rishi Lalita Vishakha Radha Gopinath ji. Just meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna and just say, Krishna, I am yours. I surrender to you with faith and love. And let us chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra once, thinking about Krishna's lotus feet, holding Krishna's lotus feet in the core of our heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. If you were able to focus on Krishna's lotus feet and chant it, then you will never have to face Yamraj or Yamadutas in the future. This is Shukdev Goswami's guarantee. If you could not do it in the class, after the class you sit and you do it. Just think about Krishna's lotus feet, take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, offer a prayer and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna. Shukdev Goswami is saying what to speak of facing Yamraj. Swapne pi paschaddi. Even in the dream, one will not have to see Yamraj. Such a bold statement Shukdev Goswami is making. Now, when Shukdev Goswami makes this revolutionary statement in the entire assembly, that even if once a person thinks about the lotus feet of Krishna, chants Krishna name, and takes shelter of Krishna, surrenders to Krishna, even once, he will never have to see Yamraj. He will never have to fear Yamraj or Yamadutas. Not even in the dreams. There was a great uproar in the assembly. Our acharyas explained, there was a great uproar in the assembly. Parishit Maharaj had faith, but among the jnanis and karmis, there was a great uproar. Everybody started talking to each other, started muttering, and there was a big uproar. How is it possible? How is it possible? How can one get liberated by just once thinking of Krishna? How is it possible? What if one performs sinful activities later on? How is it possible? How is it possible? So, to give an example to all of them and to satisfy all of them who were having doubts, immediately after speaking this verse, 6.1.19, our beloved and most merciful Shukdev Goswami, he starts narrating the pastime of Ajamil. Hare Krishna. That is the background. He starts narrating the pastime of Ajamil. This is the power of bhakti. This is the powerful process that Srila Prabhupada has given all of us, my dear friends. Such potency. Such potency. But we have to surrender. We have to really be sincere devotees, not just showing that I am doing well and just to get respect. No, we have to be really honest. We have to really be honest. Only then the process works. We'll just conclude with two things. We have 15 minutes left. One is, we have 3 minutes left. It's 8:17. So the first thing is, just a couple of days ago, it was the disappearance day of Jagdish Pandit. And in few days, it is the appearance day of Jagdish Pandit. So I felt inspired after I read about this verse, Prithu Maharaj performing pure devotional service and going back home, back to Godhead with his wife. I was reminded of this great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. His name is Jagdish Pandit. Just briefly, I'll give an overview. We don't have time to discuss in detail. But very inspiring story. Very inspiring life, Jagdish Pandit. Jagdish Pandit in Goloka Vrindavan, in the eternal spiritual world, he is one of the wives of the yagyic Brahmins. Remember in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the story is mentioned where how Krishna and Balram were offered beautiful bhoga by the yajna patnis, the wives of the yagyic Brahmins. They offered. The Brahmins refused, but their wives, they were pure devotees. They fed Krishna, Balram and all their friends with great love. So one of those Brahma Patnis, she appeared in Gaura Leela as Jagdish Pandit. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the story is mentioned in Adi Khand that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just few months old, he was crying. And normally when devotees would come and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or Hari Nam, baby Nimai would become pacified. Now he grew up a little bit and he had attained the age where he could eat Anna, where he could eat grains. And one Ekadashi he started crying. And Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Mata, Malini Devi, Srivas Pandit, Pita Thakurani, Advaita Prabhu, all the neighbors, Murari Gupta, they all came and they started chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hari Hari, Hari Hari, they were chanting Hari Nam. And normally, baby Nimai would become pacified, but today he kept crying. Finally, Jagannath Mishra in a helpless state asked him, what do I do, Nimai? What do you want? Why are you crying? So in his baby words with great difficulty, he just said, I want to eat what Jagdish Pandit has cooked today. So Jagannath Mishra, he immediately went to the house of Jagdish Pandit. Jagdish Pandit was his neighbor in Navadvip. And he went, and Jagdish and Hiranya, the two brothers, they had cooked a beautiful feast for Lord Vishnu. They had a beautiful deity of Vishnu in their house, and they had cooked beautiful rice items, different vegetables, different sweets made of rice, like sweet rice. So they had made so many nice preparations, and they were just about to offer the bhoga to Vishnu. And Jagannath Mishra came, and he said, baby Nimai is crying, he's not listening, he's just crying for such a long time, and he's saying that he wants to eat what you have cooked for Vishnu today. So in his heart, Jagdish Pandit, although he had Vatsalya Bhav for Nimai, in his heart, he and his wife Dukhini, they both understood that Nimai is Lord Vishnu, his Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they immediately took the whole bhoga plate and they came with Jagannath Mishra and they kept the plate in front of Nimai. And baby Nimai happily ate grains on Ekadashi. In the mood of the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate grain from that Ekadashi that was cooked with so much love by Jagdish Pandit. And Jagdish Pandit and his wife Dukhini and his brother Hiranya, they were feeling so happy to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat sumptuously, eat to his full satisfaction. This is the love. When we, the pure love, we do something without expecting anything. Anya abhilashita shunya. Just anukulya Krishna. Something that is favorable to Krishna. Something that will please Krishna. Samsiddhir haritoshanam. That is the aim of life. If we do, then that is very pleasing to Krishna. Because that comes on the category of pure devotional service. Shuddha bhakti, uttama bhakti. And that is the Bhagavad dharma. That is the Jayava dharma. That is the real dharma. That is Sanatana dharma. So then, few years later, baby Nimai now became Nimai Pandit. They became Nimai Pandit, and then he took initiation from Ishwarpuri, and then he became the hope and the shelter and the support for the entire universe. He became Vishwambhar. Now he's manifesting his pastimes as Mayapur Chandra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now he's initiated, he has started the Nam Sankirtan movement. He's married now. He first married Lakshmi Priya Devi, then Vishnu Priya Devi. Now he is married to Vishnu Priya Devi. He has established a Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. And everybody is very happy with him. All the devotees are living with him. Now Pundarik Vidyanidhi also has come. Garadhar Pandit, Murari Gupta, Shivananda Sen, Kolavecha Shridhar, Gangadas Pandit. They are all there. The whole Navadvip is in bliss. Everybody is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Everybody is blissful and happy. So is Jagdish Pandit. And one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls Jagdish Pandit and tells him, I want you to go to Neelachal Dham. I want you to go to Jagannath Puri Dham and stay there. And whatever you have learned from all this Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Bhakti, you go and you preach it there. You go to Jagannath Puri. So Jagdish Pandit did not want to leave Sachinandan Gaur Hari's association. It was paining his heart. Nityananda Prabhu was there. And Jagdish Pandit was he was equally close to Nityananda Prabhu as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Both of them were his life and soul. So anyway, what to do? So along with his wife, Dukhini, our Jagdish Pandit, following the orders in order to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left Navadvip Dham and he walked all the way to Jagannath Puri. There, he went to take darshan of Jagannath. And when Jagdish Pandit took darshan of Jagannath, he had the full realization that my worshipable deity Krishna is non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is non-different from Jagannath. Jai Gaura, Sei Krishna, Sei Jagannath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna of Vrindavan, and Jagannath of Jagannath Puri, Neelachal Dham, they are non-different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Krishna is Krishna, the Lord of Radharani. He is Radhanath. He is Govinda, the giver of pleasure to the gopis. He is Gopinath, he is Gopijana Vallabh, that is Krishna. That same Krishna in the loving mood and emotion in the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jagannath is that same Vrajendra Nandan Krishna who has unfortunately gone to Dwarka and is now feeling separation from Vrindavan. So Jagannath is Vrindavan Chandra Krishna who has gone to Dwarka and is now feeling separation from Vrindavan and wants to come back to Vrindavan. That is Jagannath. Krishna is Gopinath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gopinath Krishna, is Radhanath Krishna, Radha Vallabh Krishna, who wants to experience the sentiments, emotions and love of Srimati Radharani and therefore has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jagdish Pandit had this realization and he utterly fell in love with Jagannath. Jagannath's mood, crying, for Vrindavan, somebody take me to Vrindavan with his arms extended. Somebody take me to Vrindavan, take me to Vrindavan. And in his ecstasy, his eyes are big, he doesn't blink, and he wants to give mercy to everyone. When we are in ecstasy, if child comes and says, can I have this rasgulla, please, please, can I have rasgulla? Yeah, yeah, take two rasgullas, because we are in ecstasy. Jagannath is in such ecstasy that Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, Adi, all the sakhis, they are taking him back to Vrindavan. Oh, I'm going to Vrindavan. He's in such ecstasy that he's willing to give all benedictions to everybody. He doesn't want to see any faults. His eyes are wide open, always open, unblinking eyes, trying to see our good qualities. So beautiful. So Jagdish Pandit fell in love with Jagannath. After some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Jagdish Pandit, now you should go back. Now you should go back to Navadvip. You have done very nice preaching services in Jagannath Puri. You have made many devotees. Now you go back. Go back to Navadvip. So, now Jagdish Pandit did not want to leave Jagannath. Did not want to leave Sachinandan Gaur Hari. Now Mahaprabhu, before you took sannyas, you sent me to Jagannath Puri. Then you took sannyas and your plan was to come and join me in Jagannath Puri. Now again you want to send me away to Navadvip, whereas you will continue living in Jagannath Puri. Oh, this is not proper. I don't want to go. But Mahaprabhu said, you go. So what to do? With a heavy heart, he went in front of Jagannath, offered his obeisances, offered his love, his prayers, and said, hey Jagannath, I am going now to Navadvip. Please give me permission. And he turned around and he started going, walking towards Navadvip Dham. But as he was walking, Jagdish Pandit was so attached to Jagannath, he started crying. He was feeling so much separation from Jagannath. Started crying. He cried so much that he became exhausted and he fell down, unconscious. Just at the thought of leaving Jagannath Puri. Just at the thought of leaving Jagannath behind. Now, how many of us go to the Dham and we take darshan of Jagannath, we take darshan of Radha Madha, we take darshan of Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Raman. But when we are leaving Dham, how many of us cry? Oh, I'm leaving Vrindavan, I'm leaving Radha Raman, I'm leaving Radha Shyam Sundar. Oh, I'm leaving Navadvip Dham, I'm leaving my Ashta Sakhi Radha Madha. Or I'm leaving Jagannath Puri Dham, I'm leaving my beloved Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Jeev. What will happen? How will I live without them? Unfortunately, we don't have that experience. But Jagdish Pandit was so fortunate. He had attained the state of Prem, Krishna Prem. So he was crying. And Jagannath was crying at the imminent separation from his beloved devotee. So simultaneously, Jagannath appeared in the dream of Jagdish Pandit as he was laying on the road unconscious. Jagannath appeared to Jagdish Pandit, and at the same time, he appeared to the king of Jagannath Puri and told that very soon Navakalevaram is going to happen, where Jagannath gets a new body and his previous body is laid down to Samadhi, buried underground. And of course, there is the pran of Jagannath, a divine substance that is in his heart, which is removed and it is placed in the new body by the Panda with their eyes closed. So this Nave Kalavaram festival was about to happen in few days. So Jagannath appeared in the dream of the king and Jagdish Pandit and said, when the Nava Kalevaram festival happens in few days, my current body, present body, should not be laid to Samadhi, but instead of being buried, hand me over to Jagdish Pandit and he will take me to Neelachal and I will stay with him. Jagdish Pandit was very happy to hear this. And the king was also very happy to have the honor of gifting Jagannath to Jagdish Pandit. So Jagdish Pandit came back to the temple. At the same time, the king came there. And he told about his dream, the vision that he had, and the orders that he received from Jagannath. So it was arranged that Jagdish Pandit will wait for the Navakalevaram festival. And after the Navakalevaram festival, the previous body of Jagannath will go with Jagdish Pandit. But now we all know how heavy Jagannath is. It takes dozens of Daitapatis who are so muscular and strong to carry Jagannath during Rathayatra, during Snanyatra. Very heavy. Jagannath is very heavy. So how will poor little Jagdish Pandit carry Jagannath single-handedly all the way from Jagannath Puri to Navadvip? So Jagannath speaks to Jagdish Pandit and he says, "My dear Jagdish Pandit, you are my great devotee and I love you so much that for your sake, I will become as light as a cork." As light as a cork. Cork is so light. It's lighter than wood. Very light. He said, "I'll become like a small cork. And you just tie me with a nice cloth to your stick." How the traveling yatri, you know, people who go on yatra, how they carry that stick with, at the other end of the stick with a cloth bag, they tie their food or whatever they are carrying. So he said, "Just take a stick. I'll become light as a cork and just tie me with a cloth to the end of the stick. Put that stick on your shoulder. Hold the other end of the stick and walk. And I'll be as light as a cork." So our big, huge Jagannath, he became as light as a cork. And Jagdish Pandit, with his love, he tied Jagannath to this little stick and he walked all the way from Neelachal to Navadvip. And there, he established a beautiful temple for Jagannath. So this is a beautiful story of Jagdish Pandit, beautiful devotion. And then he and his wife, Rukhini, they lived in that village. They still do. The temple is still there. And it has been taken over by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the service. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple, Bhakti Daita Maharaj, he established Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math there. And he's continuing the service of Jagannath. And even the descendants of Jagdish Pandit and Dukhini are still there. And the service continues. So every time we go to Navadvip, we can take darshan of this beautiful temple of Jagannath. The original body 500 years ago of Jagannath is still there. So if you want to see how Jagannath used to look when Mahaprabhu was there, when Jagdish Pandit was there, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, when Swarup Damodar Goswami was there, you can see that deity is in Navadvip, in a village called Pradyumna Nagar. Very holy village. Also, that village is also called Chakradaha village, because when Sagar Maharaj brought when Bhagirath Muni, when he got Ganga down, the wheel of his rath he buried underground at that place on the banks of Ganga. So it's called Chakradaha, the place where the chakra of the chariot was buried. So at that place, this temple of Jagannath is there, Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took over the service and it is continuing very nicely even to this day. Jagdish Pandit was living with his Jagannath deity there. He established a temple and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his travels, when he came to Navadvip, he visited that temple, he visited Jagdish Pandit. And when he was leaving now, back to Neelachal, oh, how much Dukhini was crying, how much Jagdish Pandit was crying. So why do you leave us? Please don't go. Please don't go. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his own deity of Gaur Gopal. Gaur Gopal. There are two Gaur Gopal deities. Gaur Gopal of Jagdish Pandit and Dukhini and Gaur Gopal of Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen also had a deity called Gaur Gopal. So Mahaprabhu manifested his own deity and gave it to Jagdish Pandit's wife Dukhini and said, "I am not different from this deity. Just worship me as Gaur Gopal." So in that temple today, there is a deity of Jagannath and there is a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Gaur Gopal. So my dear friends, let us practice devotional service nicely and let us always live in this blissful ocean of Krishna Bhakti. These beautiful stories of the associates, this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, beautiful Chaitanya Charitamrita, beautiful devotees like all of you. Let us all be together, keep discussing Hari Katha, keep chanting Hari Nam. And that way we can become purified, give up this, we will be able to give up these ugly, dirty qualities, which are like weeds in our heart, which are like the alcohol pot in our heart of anarthas, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, false ego, tendency to commit aparad, tendency to commit sins. By the mercy of Krishna, if he is pleased with our bhajan and our seva, Vaishnava seva, then he will remove all that. And he will plant Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi in our heart. Then we'll become happy. And we can serve Krishna in the association of devotees eternally, blissfully. So these are some of the thoughts, my dear friends, I wanted to share with all of you. The process of pure devotional service of Prithu Maharaj has been described by Srila Prabhupada here. So all our acharyas, they are perfect examples of this. I just took the example of Jagdish Pandit because his appearance and disappearance, they are, you know, going on now. That's why I discussed about him. Very beautiful. So we should keep hearing about these great souls and remain inspired. Are there any questions or corrections or comments, my dear friends? Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for class. I do have a question about when you were telling that if we just, you know, you put us into meditation on our favorite deity's lotus feet and said that, you know, if we just surrender in that moment, you know, we will never see Yamaraj or the hellish planets, I mean. So I'm just wondering, you know, if we even said that prayer, how can we really be assured of that if we're not even sure of our own level of sincerity? You know? I guess that's basically my question.
Hare Krishna. So, we should have faith in the scriptures. Sukhdev Goswami clearly says, if even once we take shelter of Krishna, we will never have to see Yamaraj or Yamadutas, not even in dreams. And same thing is repeated everywhere in the scriptures. Even in Ramayana, Lord Ramchandra, he promises, Sakradeva prapannoyam tavasmiti sayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etadvratam mama. Same word is used, Sakrit.
Just once
if we take shelter of Krishna and we say, I am yours, tava asmi, I am yours. If you do this yachana, if you earnestly pray like that, abhayam sarvada tasmi, he will give us freedom from all fears forever. So that is the promise of Krishna, that is the promise of Lord Ram, that is the promise of Shukdev Goswami, that is the promise of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should have absolute faith in that.
Well, this is
Bhagavad Gita. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Neha Vikrama Nashosti Pratyavayo Namidyate Swalpamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. Even little advancement on this path will protect us from the worst fear. Is it not? In the second chapter. So, we should have absolute faith in this statement. There is no doubt.
You can have faith in that shastra, in that scripture, in that verse. But in order to know for yourself, you see, because there's a condition there. It says if you pray with sincerity, right? Yeah. So if I know that I'm praying with sincerity, then yes, I can follow that instruction in that verse. You know, and have faith that I will not see Yamadutas and so on. But the problem is to first know about your own sincerity. Once you know your own sincerity, yeah, you can have faith in that verse. But if you don't even know what the level of your sincerity is, then, you know, you can't even get to first base, kind of. You know what I mean? Or am I not clear?
No, it's very clear, Gaurangi Mataji. My humble obeisances to you. Yes, so sincerity has to be there. Sincerity has to be there. If we are not sincere, still the process will work, but it will take more time. But if you are sincere, then this is the fastest and the best process. So sincerity, we have to inculcate sincerity, we have to develop sincerity. And sincerity comes by associating with devotees who are sincere. If I have got a flu, and you come and sit next to me, I will give you the flu. You will get the flu from me if I have got flu. Have we not experienced this so many times? We transmit instructions to each other. So similarly, if we associate with devotees who have sincerity, we will get sincere. We will get sincerity. We will become sincere. But sincerity is required.
Okay, let me ask this then. Is there a way for me, because I followed your instructions in saying that prayer, right? Meditating, saying the prayer. So is there a way for me to know, like right now, how sincere I was in uttering that prayer? You know? Because it's not just a matter of, like, just saying it, you know, with your lips, or saying it in a dramatic way, you know. You know, sincerity comes from the heart, but I feel like I don't even know really what the level of sincerity in my own heart is. So is there a way for me to understand that so that I can know what was the level of sincerity with which I uttered that prayer?
Hare Krishna. Yeah, we have to be true to ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. If we are sincere, then we will feel a sense of satisfaction. We feel some sense of satisfaction. When we chant nicely, we feel some sense of satisfaction. When we do deity worship nicely, we feel some sense of satisfaction. When we cook something sincerely for Krishna and offer it nicely, properly with tulsi leaf, with proper mantras, proper meditation, that Krishna, please enjoy this offering, we feel satisfaction. So when we act sincerely, when we perform devotional service sincerely, the Paramatma in the heart gives us some satisfaction. That is the reciprocation from Paramatma that we have done it sincerely. But on the other hand, one should never, although we may feel that inner sense of satisfaction, one should never claim to be sincere. One should never claim to be sincere, because with sincerity comes humility. And with humility, we will never say that I am sincere. We will never feel even that I am very sincere. Therefore, a devotee always thinks that, oh, Krishna is saying that even once with sincerity, if I surrender to him, he will accept me. In Padma Purana, it is said that the holy name is so powerful that even if you chant it once, it is so powerful that the living entity does not have the capacity to perform enough sinful activities that the holy name cannot erase. We cannot perform enough sinful activities which the holy name cannot erase. So it's a challenge. How much sinful activities will you perform? You cannot perform so much sinful activities which the holy name is not powerful enough to erase. So it's meant to encourage us. So devotee will always say that, oh, Krishna says that even if once sincerely I pray, he will accept me. He will accept me. So now I cannot do it sincerely, therefore let me chant 16 times, 16 rounds. So at least one will be sincere. If not, oh, let me chant 18 rounds, let me chant 20 rounds. At least hopefully one round will be sincere. One naam, one mantra will be sincere. So that is how a devotee thinks. Because with devotion, real devotion, humility comes. And with humility, one naturally feels that I am not doing enough. Why? Because when we become sincere devotees, Gaurangi Mataji, our focus is always on great devotees, like Prabhupada, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur, like Rupa Goswami, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And then compared to them, we feel, hey Krishna, I have no devotion. I have no sincerity. Because we are always focusing on them, we are thinking about them, reading their literatures. So we are, our yardstick, the bar we set for ourselves is very high. So compared to that, we always feel very dainya, very fallen. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami can with all honesty say, I am very fallen. I am lower than the worm in the stool. Anybody who hears my name becomes contaminated. Anybody who chants my name loses all piety. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai. He's not lying, he's saying it sincerely. That humility, that's a manifestation of his real humility. So to answer your question, yes, we must try to be sincere. And because we cannot be sincere, we do it multiple times. Otherwise, chanting one Hare Krishna Mahamantra would have been enough. But we do it multiple times because we always have a fear that I am not sincere, I am not sincere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And secondly, as we make spiritual advancement, we get the understanding that really I am not sincere. Really I am wasting my life. And that does not make us depressed. That does not hamper or hinder our spiritual performance or activities. Rather, it acts like a springboard to inspire us even more.
Mm-hmm.
That humility, mm-hmm. that feeling of not being able to do anything inspires us to do more bhajan. It doesn't make us depressed. In the material world, if we feel that, oh, I'm not a good doctor, oh, I'm not a good father, oh, I'm not good at managing my wealth, oh, I'm a loser, we become depressed and we just sit down and watch TV. Or we sit down and take shelter of comfort foods and we start eating cakes and chocolates out of depression. That is material realm. In the spiritual realm, when this Dainya Bhav comes, it is actually a symptom of Sharanagati. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Dainya Atma Nivedana Gopritva Varana Avasya Rakshibe Krishna Vishwasa Palana. On one hand, he's saying Dainya is a quality of Sharanagati. Feeling oneself very fallen, feeling oneself very humble, very insignificant, Dainya. But at the same time, on the other hand, he's saying Gopirpa Varana. I have accepted Krishna as my maintainer. And Avashya Rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will certainly protect me. So see, that Dainya Bhav is also there, but at the same time, complete faith and hope in Krishna's mercy is also there. So does that help, Mata?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you. That was very nice. Can you just repeat the reference for that verse?
Which verse?
Just once in the sincerity, hold on to the lotus feet.
From Ramayana or from Bhagavatam?
I think it was Bhagavatam.
It is 6.1.19.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Adi Gada Tadas Prabhu, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Dev Ki Jai. When we are explaining Leela Prabhuji, that we are not qualified, but we feel that we are entering in that Leela, that much potency in your class. Thank you very much. We are not able to go Bhakti Viksha class because it's so far, or Bhagavad Gita class or Sushi Bhagavatam class, but regularly hearing online class, it's give a very narrating to us. Hare Lord and the friend.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, for your kind words. Jaya Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhu. This is Sundaranand Das. Prabhu, I had one question. We know how chanting continuously is very helpful, and chanting as much as possible is very helpful. However, in that connection, we also see the example of our acharyas also, who have their hand in bead bag and they're always chanting even when they're walking from one place to another place like that. So that example is there. But I'm confused with one thing, which is we also hear that inattention in chanting is the root cause of all the other offenses. So by doing this extra chanting when we're not fully attentive, is that helping or is that hurting because it is inattention, so it will cause other offenses in chanting? That is the doubt I had, Prabhu. If you can share anything, that will help me, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Satatam kirtayanto maam ye jana paryupasate. Satatam kirtayanto maam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, in the Antya Leela, last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the Shikshashtakam prayers are given, he says, తృణాదపి సునీచేన తరోరపి సహిష్ణున అమానీన మానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదాహరి కీర్తనీయ సదాహరి. సో భక్తి వినోద్ ఠాకూర్ ఈ రైట్స్ దాట్ దెర్ ఆర్ ద 10 ఆఫెన్సెస్ మెన్షన్డ్ ఇన్ పద్మపురాణ్, 10 నామ అపరాధ్స్, అండ్ దెన్ భక్తి వినోద్ ఠాకూర్ గివ్స్ ద 11th వన్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఇన్అటెంటివ్ చాంటింగ్. సో ఇన్అటెంటివ్ చాంటింగ్ ఇస్ దేర్ when you are chanting your prescribed sankhya, sankhya purvaka nama ganana tidi. In the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, it is mentioned that the six Goswamis, they would chant sankhya purvaka nama. So you make a commitment and that is your prescribed sankhya. For us ISKCON devotees, it is minimum 16 rounds. So that sankhya has to be attentive, very attentive. All the rounds we chant should be attentive if possible. But we have other duties to do. We have to drive. We have to go shopping. We have to stand in line sometimes at some office. You go to DMV or you go to pay your property tax or anywhere you go, you have to stand in line. You go shopping. You are at the checkout counter of a mall. You have to stand in line. You are walking from your car to the parking lot. That is 1 minute, 2 minutes. So much time, so much downtime is there in our life. We should fill that with Harinam. But the Sankhya Purvak Japa that we have to do, that is Japa meditation, that is Japa Yajna. That has to be very attentive. Attentive means exclusive, with concentrated attention. But the extra rounds, with the extra rounds that we chant, we should try to do them also attentively. But even if you are doing inattentively, now that is all right, because the holy name will work. Holy name is all purifying. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasavigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatvan Nama Namino. The holy name of Krishna is non different, and we have the order from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayantoma. We have the orders from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non different from Krishna. Kirtaniya Sadahari. And we have the orders from Srila Prabhupada that the verse that we read today, today's verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, that we read, in that verse itself, Prabhupada is saying, 4.23.10, just read the translation. Completely engaged in devotional service, strictly according to principles, 24 hours a day. So now tell me, Prabhuji, Prabhupada is saying 24 hours a day. And there are so many purports of Prabhupada. For example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, in the chapter entitled The Process of Devotional Service, verse number 113. Let me see, Prabhu, if I can pull it up. Hold on 1 second. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, The Process of Devotional Service is 22, chapter 22. I think it's 113 verse, if I remember correctly. It's one of my favorite purports. Yes. So, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami. He is quoting a verse from Padma Puran. Smartavya satatam Vishnur vismartavya unajatuchid sarve vidhi nishedasyor etayor iva kinkara. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. Which means while driving, in the office, lunch break, parking lot, wherever we may be, while bathing, while brushing, while answering nature's call, while wearing clothes, putting tilak, Krishna should never be forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be servants of these two principles. So whatever rules and regulations are there that you should chant after doing achaman, you should chant with clean clothes, you should sit on a clean asana. You should sit in front of deities. You should chant, you know, while you are not doing anything else exclusively. All these rules and regulations are there. We should apply these rules and regulations to our sankhya, which is 16 rounds minimum of japa. That we should do exclusively with in a proper place, proper time, morning, Brahma Murta japa. Absolutely. Always Brahma Murta japa. We should never let our 16 rounds go beyond 7 a.m. in the morning. So we should do. We actually have a group in Atlanta
not only Atlanta, there are devotees from outside Atlanta also. Yajnanam Japa Yajnasmi, where we report our Japa. Today I forgot to report my Japa because I was preparing for the class, but I finished my Japa at around 6:30. So, but we report, as soon as we finish 16 rounds, we report. So 16 rounds should be concentrated, you know, in one place, nicely clean environment, quiet when everybody's sleeping. 16 rounds minimum have to be Brahma Murta. But remaining time, it is said that we should remember Krishna at all times. So now see the powerful purport that Prabhupada says. Huh? Prabhu, please listen attentively. This verse is a quotation from the Padma Puran. Prabhupada says, there are many regulative principles in the Shastras and directions given by the spiritual master. These regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle that one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. Now, Prabhuji, the question is, how do we remember Krishna? Next line, Prabhupada answers. So he says, one should always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So remembering Krishna means chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Otherwise, how can we, in a very abstract way, remember Krishna? Not possible. We have not seen Krishna. We are not Dhruv Maharaj, who can capture Krishna in the heart. So we are not that advanced. So we don't have, and for us, Krishna is still an abstract abstract personality, because we have not had Sakshat Darshan of Krishna. Of course, the deity of Krishna is non-different. We can meditate on the deity, but that is also difficult for the Kali Yuga fickle mind. So the best way for remembering Krishna, Prabhupada says, by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So again, I'll read. One should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra 24 hours daily. Jai Srila Prabhupada. See, Prabhu, direct answer to your question. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22nd, verse number 113, purport. Prabhupada says, therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra 24 hours daily. In today's Bhagavatam verse also 24 hours. In this purport also, Prabhupada says 24 hours daily. Now see, Prabhupada makes a revolutionary statement. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but one must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. Now this is the Sankhya Purvak Naam. One must chant certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. Prabhuji, Prabhupada in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita saying a neophyte should chant minimum 16 rounds. Think about this. And we chant 16 rounds and think, we have done it. I'm done for the day. Prabhupada is saying only a neophyte chants minimum 16 rounds. So for us, we should not tell others openly, but for us, we must set a standard. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's standard was 40 rounds. I know so many devotees who chant 64 rounds every day. So many devotees. There is Sudama Prabhu, he is the Brahmachari in Radhaupinat temple, chants 64 rounds. There is Radha Krishna Prabhu in also Chaupati congregation, he chants 64 rounds. There is one devotee in Florida, he chants more than 64 rounds every day. There is one devotee in Pune, he is a disciple of Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj. His name is Ram Krishna Prabhu, he is an engineer with a job, wife, married man. He chants 128 rounds every day. Every day. So these are the devotees that we have to look at. This is the standard. I met one couple in Vrindavan, Shri Balram Prabhu. He lives close to Krishna Balram temple. So when I went to Yatra, I met him. So I was glorifying him. I said, Prabhu, you're chanting, you know, 1 lakh name every day, 64 rounds every day. So wonderful. He held my hand. He said, Prabhu, come with me. Come with me. I will take you. Every gully I can show you in Vrindavan, there are devotees who are chanting 2 lakh names, 128 rounds every day of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. ISKCON devotees. Hare Krishna. So this is the standard. Prabhupada is saying in this purport, therefore one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra 24 hours daily. One may have other duties, but one must abide by this instruction of the spiritual master, certain number of rounds first. In our Krishna conscious movement, we have recommended that a neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. All of the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is the most essential. Again, Prabhupada says, at least 16 rounds. So, Prabhu, this answers your question. We have no shelter other than Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Prabhu, which we have received from Prabhupada and from our Guru Maharaj, Prabhuji, is our only hope. At the time of death, we cannot do deity worship. At the time of death, we cannot focus on a Bhagavatam class. We cannot pick up a book. We cannot do any other. We cannot worship Tulsi Maharani. We will be passing stool and urine. We cannot even go near Tulsi Maharani. We may not have had bath. We may be in the hospital bed. We cannot go to a holy place. We cannot serve devotees. Prabhuji, what shelter do we have? So 16 rounds should be very attentive. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We should chant very intensely. And then we should pray that Krishna, for the rest of the day, I will let the Hare Krishna Mahamantra vibrate on my tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Even wherever we are, you know, all situations of life, we should keep this Hare Krishna Mahamantra as our best friend. Always vibrating internally. Even if our mouth is closed, the tongue should keep vibrating. Bhakti Charu Maharaj had come to Atlanta. He was telling us this very touching pastime, that when he was serving Prabhupada, on the day Prabhupada left this world, Prabhupada's dear godbrother, Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, a pure devotee, a Paramhamsa Mahabhagwat, he came to meet Prabhupada. Prabhupada's very dear friend. There is a book also, his biography, one must read. Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, very, very dear friend of Prabhupada. He was also a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He would chant more than 3 lakh names every day, more than 192 rounds every day. So he came, as Prabhupada was leaving his body, he was sitting next to Prabhupada and chanting japa. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Prabhupada would open his mouth every few hours, and Bhakti Charu Maharaj's service was to put Charanamrit and Radhakund water in Prabhupada's lotus mouth every few hours when Prabhupada would open his mouth. Prabhupada was not speaking. He was about to leave his body. And when he would open his mouth, Bhakti Charu Maharaj writes this in his book also, Ocean of Mercy. Prabhupada's tongue was vibrating. His tongue was moving, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And Akinchan Krishna Babaji Maharaj pointed out to Bhakti Charu Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, look, look, look. Even now, in this helpless condition, Prabhupada's body is not moving. He cannot open his eyes. He cannot speak. He cannot lift up his head also. He's so weak. But look, his tongue is vibrating the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj looked, and in fact, Prabhupada's tongue was continuously vibrating. That is Upamshu Japa. Upamshu, just in the mouth, the mantra keeps going. And even if the tongue cannot vibrate, in the mind, the Mahamantra can be chanted Manasik. There is Vachik, Upamshu, and Manasik. So we must take complete shelter of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I say one small prayer every day before beginning Japa, Prabhu, and before sitting in Harinam Sankirtan, in the temple or wherever, I always chant this one 3-step prayer. I am very fallen, very sinful person, apradhi, very fallen person, number one. Number two, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is my only shelter. I have received this Hare Krishna Mahamantra from Guru and Srila Prabhupada. And number three, let me bathe my consciousness with the flow of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then as we are chanting, as we are singing Hare Krishna Mahamantra, just let it flow. Let it bathe. Just like when you stand in the shower to take bath every morning, you stand in the shower and the shower water is bathing you, sprinkling on you, falling on you. Similarly, let the Hare Krishna Mahamantra flow and let it shower you. Take a shower in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Point number one, I am most fallen. Point number two, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra that I have received from Shri Guru Gauranga is my only hope. What else have we received, Prabhu? Nothing we have. And number three, therefore, let me bathe my consciousness with this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna Mahamantra that we have received from Guru Gauranga is our best friend. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Surit Sarva Bhutanam, Krishna says, I am everyone's best friend. In Kaliyug, that Surit Sarva Bhutanam is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is Krishna Nam. So we should always chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's an offense not to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because we have received that gift from Guru. So if we are not taking this gift seriously, then we are offending the Guru. Hare Krishna. Does that help, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. Very much. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for a nice explanation. It's very helpful. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So it is very late now. It is past 9 o'clock. So if it's okay, we can end the class now.
Prabhu, this is a really, really quick one. Just to follow up, can I?
Yes, yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so, you know, as you said, beyond our quota, minimum quota of 16 rounds. You know, we should always be chanting. So I'm wondering, if, let's say, a person hypothetically is equally disposed toward chanting and hearing lectures, right, in their downtime, or maybe even reading, whatever it is, outside of japa, in their downtime, right, is there a preferred thing to do? Let's say, is chanting in your downtime better than hearing lecture or reading, or what would you say?
Hare Krishna. Gaurangi Mataji, it depends on the bhav of the devotee. Different devotees have different bhav, different moods. All these processes, hearing, chanting, remembering, reading, they are all different processes of devotional service. There are 64 limbs. They are all one of the 64 limbs of bhakti. Whichever path helps you the most, you can do that. Whichever path helps you remember Krishna the most, increases your attachment to Krishna the most, you can do that. And we have to keep changing. Just chanting may become monotonous because we don't have taste. Because taste is ruchi. Ruchi comes after anartha nivritti. Adav shraddha, then sadhu sangha, then bhajana kriya, then anartha nivritti, then nishtha, then ruchi. So we don't have taste, we don't have ruchi because we are still on the platform of anartha nivritti and bhajana kriya. So because we don't have taste, then we have to keep changing. So you hear Harikatha from your favorite speaker, from Guru Maharaj. You read your some scriptures, you chant also. You have to keep mixing. But of these 9 processes, the most powerful is Nam Kirtan, chanting the holy name. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells, he says, Taramadhya Sarva Shrestha Nama Sankirtan Nirapradha Nama Laila Pabe Premadhan. Of the 9 processes, Navavida Bhakti, of the 9 processes, chanting the name of Krishna is the most powerful. But okay, we have to read also, because reading nourishes our Naam Bhajan. Hearing Harikatha nourishes our Naam Bhajan. So everything is important. We have to choose and pick.
So if a person does, let's say a person has taste for chanting, right? And they have other options, you know, because there's 9 processes. So you would probably recommend that, therefore, since the person does have taste for chanting, then since chanting is the most powerful, then that's the thing that they should do in their downtime. Would you say?
Yes, like that is correct. And that is substantiated by our Namacharya, Haridas Thakur. He would chant all day and all night, Kirtaniya Sadahari.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have to see what is the service. For example, Shukdev Goswami, he didn't say, tell Parishit Maharaj that, okay, wait, I have to interrupt the Harikatha because I have to chant. No, he was speaking Harikatha because that is also Kirtan. You are talking about Krishna's names, Krishna's glories, Krishna's pastimes. So, yes, Naam Sankirtan is the most powerful. If one has taste and one can do it, one should keep increasing Naam Bhajan. One should keep increasing Naam Bhajan.
Say again, I cannot hear. One should
continue increasing one's Naam Bhajan. Increasing one's Naam Sankhya.
That is
the process. As one develops taste, one wants to chant more and more and more.
Okay. Yeah.
So like you said, if we have downtime and we have taste, one should chant. Yes.
Okay. Great.
And
thank
we regularly
you
hear Bhagavatam also. We regularly read also. Yeah, we do services, deity worship also. But the foundation is Naam, Naam Bhajan. In Kali Yuga, it is Naam, Naam, Naam. Ayendra Prabhu would say that verse is there in Bhagavad Gita. Maam cheva vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samantiyetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So, Maam hi vyabhicharena. So, Ayendra Prabhu would say, Naam hi vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. In Kali Yuga, it is Naam. Sarva dharman parityajya maam ekam sharanam vraja. Krishna says, Ayendra Prabhu would say, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga, it is sarva dharman parityajya naam ekam sharanam vraja. Surrender to the holy name. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So we should end the class now. It is very late. पञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू ऑल ऑफ यू, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय,
जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय,
प्रभु की जय,
की जय।